Okay, Rabbi. Today's daf is daf Ayin Vav. We're starting on the sixth line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins. Rav Ashi Omar Reisha Monali Abba Biyadcha V'Seifa Monali Biyadcha. What is Rav Ashi coming to address? He's coming to address a kasha that we asked yesterday. So let's just briefly review what we learned yesterday on daf Ayin Hey Amid Aleph. We had a Mishnah. The Mishnah has a Reisha and a Seifa. The Reisha case, let's look at the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of Ayin Hey Omer Aleph. The Reisha case is Hoyu ba Mumin v'oydeh b'beis aviyah. The Kala has Mumin, and they've been discovered when she's still b'beis aviyah, pre-Nisuan. Post-Erisin, pre-Nisuan. Now it's Nisuan time, and the husband is very upset. It says, I didn't want to go marry a Kala. It has Mumin. The whole thing was a Mekach Tos. If I would have known that she had Mumin, I never would have given her a ring. Chulila, I didn't want it. Who has now? What's the problem? Everything okay? So look at the Mishnah. Av Tzorch Haviraya, Shemishin is Arsa Hoyeb Mumin Halolu, Venestach Mosadeo. The father has to go and prove that these Mumin were not there. Pre-Erison. At the time of the Erison, when he put the ring on her finger, she was not a Balas Mumin at all. She was a Shleima Mitatmima. Loyalainu. After that, there was some sort of accident, there was some sort of disease, whatever. But this was post-Erison. And therefore, Nistachva Sadeu. Which means, unfortunately, it's your mazel that you lost out. But what we did was totally proper. At the time of the Erison, she was 100% Tmima Shleima. But he has to prove that. That the burden of proof is on him. Him meaning the father and the young lady. And now we talk about the Sefer, where things shift in the other direction. Nichlas Urush Yisabal. What happens now? It's post-Nisuin. And the husband discovers, oh no, she has Mumin. Who has to now prove? Habal Tzorch Lahaviraya. So now the burden of proof shifts to the Baal. He's the one that's going to have to go and prove that this happened pre-Erison, and therefore the Mekach was a Mekach Tos, and the Chasam is over, or at the very least he doesn't have to give a Ksuah. So, Reish and Sefer. Reish, we say, the father has the proof, burden of proof to go and show that she only received these Mumin post-Erison. Seifa, the husband has the burden of proof to show that this already occurred pre-Erison. What's going on over here? On to the Amid Beis, right after the Mishnah. We start off again with the Reisha, Tama de Maisio Avraya. He has to go and prove it. Hole Maisio Avraya, Habal Mehemen. Then the husband is believed. Mani, who would that go in accordance with? Rabbi Shuhi, the Amalei Mepiyo Anu Chayim. Remember, we had a machloikis earlier on in the Amr Sechta, machloikis between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, where you had a parallel situation where a young lady, unfortunately, well, initially she was getting erisin based on a reputation of being a psula. At the time of the Nisuan, the first bia, the husband says, "Lematzasa levitcha psulim," and therefore I'm afraid that she was really not a psula at the time of the erisin. It was a mekach toz. I thought she was a psula. As you said yesterday, in the ksuba it says that she's a psula, and therefore I make a choice. I'm very upset about it. And the father of the girl, and the girl says, no, it's not true. At the time of the Erison, everything was fine. Misha restani nasti. After the Erison, unfortunately, there was this violent perpetrator who violated me, and Rachman Litzlan, what was I supposed to do? It was against my will. So, who has the burden of proof? So remember back in the beginning of the Masechta, Ram Gamliel says, we believe her, because she has a chazaka. Since she was born of Psula, like 99.9% of girls, born of Psula. Now, when did this happen? It happened as late as possible, because the chazaka was there as long as possible. So we believe her and the father. Rabbi Shua says, we do not believe her, but rather the father has to go and bring the raya. When did the Masa Oynis take place? Was it pre-Erison or post-Erison? Here too, Our Tanakhama is saying it's on the father that has the burden of proof to show when did she become a baalas mum. If you want to tell us that this only happened post Erisin, prove it. That's Rabbi Shua. And that's what it says in our Mishnah, that the father has to prove it. If he doesn't prove it, the baal wins. On the other hand, they Masefa. Nichsel is just a baal. A baal tzurich lavi raya. Time of the Maisi, a baal raya. Holy Maisi, a baal raya. What happens if the baal is not able to come up with any proof? Ho'av me'aman, that we believe the father and the girl. Asonam gamliyo diyom and amenis. Make up your mind. Do we hold like Rabbi Shua? Do we hold like Raman Gamliel? That was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara yesterday gave two answers. Rabbi Lozer said, Mishishanazu, Loishanazu. And Achanami, according to Rabbi Yeshua, both the Reisha and the Seifa, it's the Av and the girl that have to bring the proof. Because Loimi Piyo Anu Chaim, just because she says that this happened post Erisin, Sai Legabe the Ne'enasti, and Sai Legabe the Mum, I don't believe her. Prove it. And the same thing would apply even the Beis Habal. No difference, Beis Av, Beis Baal. The Tanakama is Rabbi Yeshua, and in both cases, he would hold Le'mepi Anuchai. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, argues, not only in the Seifa, in the Reishi, he would say the same thing. Both when she's in a Beis Av, or whether she's already in the Beis Habal, in all cases, we believe her, and it's the husband that has to go and prove that any type of oinus or any type of movement happened pre-Erisim. That's Rabbi Loza's teretz, Mishishanazu, Loishanazu. Then we have the teretz of Rava, Kam Nimtso, Kan Hoyu, Seifa, Kam Nimtso, Kan Hoyu. What does that mean? That means that the burden of proof is always where the young lady resides. If she happens to reside in the Beis Av, and we find that she is, unfortunately, damaged goods, in the sense of either she's Nebuch Nensa, she's a Be'ula, or in our case that she's a Baalas Mum. No, who has the burden of proof of showing when this occurred? Where is she? Beis Av, the Av has to prove it. If she's already moved on to the Beis Baal, and now we discover for the first time that there are women, or like in the beginning of the Masechta, that she is a Be'ula, then the husband has to go and prove it. So it all depends where the burden of proof is. Burden of proof is when you're in the Av's Rishos, the Av has that duty. When the Baal's Rishos, the Baal has that duty. That was Rava's Teretz. Now we have Teretz number 3. And Teretz number 3 is from Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Omar, Reisha Monali Abba Biyotcha, the Seifa Monali Biyotcha. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that the young lady has what we call a cheskas haguf. He spoke about this a little bit yesterday as well. What's a cheskas haguf? Cheskas haguf is that when she was born, she was a shleima and a tmima. Only subsequently, unfortunately, she became a baalas mum. We don't know exactly when, pre-Erisin, post-Erisin, but this was not at the time of birth. And therefore, Zokta Gemara, she has on her side a chazaka that she was a shleima tmima as late as possible, and presumably past Erisin, and she only became a baalas mum at the last moment during the post-Erisin period. That is her chazaka. He, on the other hand, has a chazaka that he's holding on to the money, and therefore, if we want to go and extract from him a ksuba of masayim, then a moit mechbel of araya. So that is his chazaka on his side. Now, says our Gemara, Reisha Manali Abba Biyotcha, who wants to go and get paid if and when this marriage ends? And there's going to be a get and a ksuba, who's going to get the benefit of the ksuba? If this marriage were to terminate while she is still an arusa, and we are assuming, even though the Mishnah didn't say it, we're assuming that she is either a ketana or a Nara, who is going to get the benefit of a ksuba if this marriage terminates? It goes to the father. If, however, she's already married fully in terms of nisuin, and now the husband divorces her or gives a ksuba, who's going to receive that ksuba? She is going to receive that ksuba. You can tell me, how do I know that? Where do I take that from? That was a Mishnah that we had already earlier on in our Masechta, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. It's at the beginning of this second volume of our scroll, so you don't have to worry that you can't find it in your volume. What does the Mishnah say on Mem, is it Mem Beis? Sorry, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Mem Gimel Amud Beis says in the Mishnah, Hama'ares es bitoy, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 43b, Hama'ares es bitoy, someone who does Eresin of his daughter, and again the daughter is a Ketana or a Nara, Vigirsha, and unfortunately she became Migureshes when she was still an Arusa. Irsa, he was Ma'areser, Venis Armel, she became Nebuch and Almana. Who gets the benefit of the Ksuba? Ksuba says Shaloi. Shaloi meaning the father. Because after all, he has all of the rights to his Ketana or his Nara. However, if that's in Ketana or Nara, Hisia, she got now Nisuin, and either Garsha or Nisarmala. Guess what happens now? Ksuba says Shaloi, the Ksuba belongs to her, not to the father, to her. Ah. So now, getting back to our Gemara here, says Rav Ashi, it's true that she has a chazaka. What's a chazaka? That she was a shleima and that she was a tmima. And hopefully that chazaka will be the winning chazaka. If it's the winning chazaka, who is it going to help? If you're talking about that she is to receive the funds, it'll help her. However, if the father is to receive the ksuba funds, it will not help him, because he doesn't own that chazaka. She owns the chazaka. And therefore, in the reisha of the Mishnah, when he wants to collect the ksuba, that chazaka of guf is not going to help him. It'll only help her. He's going to have to prove his case. That's why it's in the Mishnah. Al-Av, he's going to have to go and show that she became a balas amum after the eris. Mash'enkim, we're talking about the sefer, that now it's nisuin. Who's going to receive any ksuba money? She is going to receive the ksuba money. Well, I have my chazaka. My chazaka was that I was a shleima tmima as long as possible. So this did not happen pre-erisim. It happened post-erisim. Since this is a winning argument, that's why it says in the Mishnah, if the husband wants to defeat it, the argument, he's going to have to bring proof. So in the reisha, where the father doesn't have the benefit of that cheskes haguf, because it's not his goof, on the father Lahaviraya, in the sefer where she is the recipient of the funds, she has the benefit of the chazaka of her goof, therefore on the Baal Lahaviraya.
But the father and the daughter are both on the same side of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
They're both collectively, as it were, suing the husband for the 200.
No question. And that's why both Reb Lozer and Rava are not happy with this.
Okay.
That's what Rav Ashi. Look at Rashi, Rav Ashi, seven lines to the top of the Amid. Mahadinami lo ukma kula karam gamlio. We want to say that the entire Mishnah, no, not like Reb Lozer, Tavra Misha Shanazu Shanazu. The whole Mishnah is Ram Gamlio. The Chazaka de Gufa Adif. Ferecha lahochi le mahani chazaka de Gufa. Why doesn't the Cheskes HaGuf help? Why does the father have to prove his case? Lafisha in a taina shallah, ela shalavia. Because the one that is now going into the courtroom, I want to get paid the ksuba, is not her, it's the father.
He's the lead defendant, effectively.
And the lead plaintiff.
I'm sorry, thank you.
No
thank
problem,
you,
we're still friends. We're speaking here in front of a very respected jurist and member of the bar, so we have to be very careful about how we express ourselves. So, Fisha Nataina Shala El Shalavia, Shaksubas Aderson La'av, Vavli Mona La'aba Biyadcha, and therefore, Vigabi'av, Lo Yamrinan Biguf Shalah. I agree with you. Normally I would say the father and daughter go together as a package deal, because after all, he did the erisin, he didn't the erisin for himself, he did it for the girl, he did it for his daughter. And now when we're receiving the ksuba, it's for her, but Torah says give it to him. So shouldn't it be an integral part of his pleading and of his course of action, etc.? But nevertheless, Rav Ashi says we divide between the two. Since he's getting the money, he doesn't have the cheskes haguf. But in the sefer where she is getting the money, she has the cheskes haguf. Therefore, she would win the case. Alabal lahavi raya. Eitz v'ravacha b'reid rav avya ravashi. I find this hard to believe, says ravacha b'reid rav avya, because moidra meir, the mumin haru'uyin lovi ima mi beis avya, sh'ala av lahavi raya. What is the Gemara asking now? Remember, the Tana of our Mishnah was Divya Rameir. So now we're asking from Rameir himself. The Rameir himself says, a mum haroi lovei ima bebeis aviyah, if it's a type of mum that could have, would have, should have, it was suitable that it would have happened to Beis Aviyah, even though she's now moved on to the Beis Habal, because there was Nisuin, and if the husband says, Oy vavoy, you're a balas mum, and the mum that we're talking about was Ro'i, what type of mum, says Rashi, any mum, Kosal Kedaitik, see, parallel to our Gemara, Rashi, is a dat, because Kosal Kedaitik, b'chol mum in sheyesh l'sapik, the loyimar, shime beis aviyah bo. She comes into the marriage by the Nisuin, and he sees a scar over here, or a broken finger, or whatever that disturbs him about her, that she has some sort of mum, and this is the type of mum that easily could have taken place a day ago, 3 days ago, a month ago, during the Beis Av period. So even though she's now moved on to the Baal's home, who has to bring the Raya? Al Av Lahavi Raya. Afraid tomorrow by my, I don't understand why. Who has to bring the proof?
The Baal.
The Mishnah says that once you move to the Baal, he has to bring the proof. Exactly. So he has to bring the proof. The same Rameir of our Mishnah says, it depends what type of mum it is. If it's a type of mum that is transportable, that she might have had this mum previously, even though she moves to the Beis Habal, the burden of proof is still on the Av. That's what we're saying now in this price. This is something new, but this is a price. And we're assuming at this point any type of mum. That being the case, I don't understand. Since we are now talking the Beis Habal, who is going to receive the ksuba if and when there will be a get?
The
girl is going to receive the ksuba. She has a cheskis haguf. Didn't you say, according to Ravashi, the important thing is who owns that cheskis haguf? If the father is the plaintiff, he doesn't own the cheskis haguf, then he has to bring a raya. If, however, she is the plaintiff, then she doesn't have to bring a raya because she has a cheskis haguf. Guess what? If we're now the Beis Habal, even though the mum may have transpired previously during the Beis Ho'av, but who is now bringing the lawsuit? It's the girl. It's the wife. She has a chesed haguf. That being the case, she should win the case unless the Baal is able to prove otherwise. So why is Moed HaMeir? Why do we say Shalom Avla B'Yirai? B'Mai Manli B'Yodchu. Everything Mar Hacham Mayeskina, we're talking about not just any type of mum that might have, could have, would have, should have happened to Beis Av. We're talking about a special type of mum which was congenital. Biyaseiris. She has six fingers. Nobody grows a sixth finger later in life. Either you're born with a sixth finger or you're born with only five fingers. So now, he didn't notice it until now, apparently, because he's making a big tzimis about it now. And now it's the Beis, the Beis Habal. And he says, oi, you have six fingers. I never knew that. I can't live with a lady that has six fingers. This is, quote unquote, weird. People are going to think that you are.
On the other hand, she can do so much more spinning and weaving and everything.
And that's clearly what she is saying.
Right.
He looks upon it a little bit differently. He looks upon it as kolamoisiv kireya. If you have an extra finger, it's like missing. Oh, that would be Rabbi Kotz. Anyway, so now what's the case over here? So since this is clearly something that happened to Beis Av, she didn't grow an extra finger overnight. Happened to Beis Av. So then we put the burden of proof on the Av, and that's what Moed HaMeir, that even though this transpired, he only found out about it. The Beis Habal, the duty is on the Beis Ho'av. Av has to go and prove it. Now, Frank Timoriets, 1 second, Yaseiris Mayraya Maisi. What proof is he going to bring? After all, in our Mishnah, when we talk about that the father of the bride has to go and bring proof, the proof is always that this transpired post the father, post Erisin. And therefore, at the time of Erisin, she was not a balas mum.
Right.
And therefore, it was not a mekach tois. It was poifikt. Unfortunately, Mishirastani ne'enasti. After the Erisin, then there was an accident that she got this mum. It was a car accident or a disease, rachmanu l'islam. And therefore, Nebuch, she got a brand new mum. So therefore it's a burden on the father to go and show this was not pre-Erisin, but it was post-Erisin, so that it was not a Mekach Toz, and therefore she's entitled to her full Ksuba. What is he going to say about this Yaseiris? He's going to say, at the time of the Erisin, there was no finger. The finger grew out after the Erisin over the last 12 months.
No.
Can't give me a break. That's impossible. So what is he, what Raya Maisi, what's it to bring him? And for the more Raya, the Raya that he's going to bring is, the Ra, Venifayis, who he's going to bring two Adam that were there at the time of the Erisin. At the time of the Erisin, you had to have two Adam. And the husband, when he wanted to put the ring on the finger, I believe the custom is you put it on the middle finger, if I'm not mistaken, not on the ring finger like you usually do. Anybody remember when they did it at the time of the American? You think on the second finger?
Okay. On the index finger to show.
On the second finger. Beautiful. Second finger.
I saw it yesterday.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. So I withdraw in the second finger. So now when she put her hand out and she said, okay, put it on the finger, there's a good chance that he would have noticed that there are six fingers. And he would say, hey, which one is the second finger? You count from this side, you count from that side, and the six fingers instead of five.
So in love with
and,
I'm
sorry?
He was so in love with her, he didn't notice.
That's his defense. But the point is, that's what the two Adam are going to go and say. The husband saw the six fingers, and he said, Sprinzer, I can't believe it. I thought I was getting a collar with only 10 fingers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me a bracha collar with 11 fingers. I'm so happy. And he put the ring on the finger. Or 12 would even be better. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the point is, that would be the Raya that he has to go and bring. And this is that lone exceptional case where we say that the burden of proof is on the Av, even though technically it has moved to the home of the Baal, because it's crystal clear that this Mum did not happen in the base of Baal, it happened in the base of Av. With this we have concluded Ravashi, and now we come on to Shmuel. Shmuel starts off telling us something that sounds like from the Bavis, from the Masechtas Bava Kamma. But as you'll soon see, we're going to tie it into our Masechta once again. Or Rabbi Yonah Mishmuel, Hamachlef Parah B'Chamar. You have two people. One owns a Parah, one owns a Chamar. The Parah man needs a Chamar, the Chamar man needs a Parah. They were both appraised, and miraculously, they're both worth exactly the same amount. And therefore, they said, why do I have to go and sell it? Get money and go and buy the other animal. Let's just make a barter, an exchange. I'll give you my parah, you give me my chamar, and shalom ayisra. So what happened? Hamach leparah b'chamar, they're making a switch. Now, to be koina, since certainly there's no mois koinois over here, there's no money at all, you have to do a kinyan. The standard kinyan that you do on a behemah gasa is a mashicha. You give it a schlep. And if it schleps and it goes a few amis, shine. You are kind. You don't have to go and schlep both of them. Once you're moshech one of them, the other one is konui b'chol mokim sheheng. So if I have a parah that I'm going and exchanging with your chamar, my parah is here in New York, your chamar is in New Jersey, as soon as one of us does a meshicha on the other person's animal, the other animal automatically is nikna, and we're done. So amach leparah b'chamar. Umashah balachamar es haparah. The balachamar went and schlepped the parah, and therefore he was koina. And therefore automatically, now the balaparah owns the chamar. Fine. Flei hispik balaparah limshech es hachamar. The balaparah didn't have a chance to go and schlep. Not that he needed it halachically, but he didn't even have a chance to embrace this chamar, so to speak, as his new possession. Achameis hachamar. She. You have over here on the one side, here in New York, the Bala Chamar schlepped the para. The Bala Chamar owns a Chamar, but that Chamar happens to be in New Jersey. The Bala Para wants to take possession and schlep the Chamar to him, and he comes into the shtal, into the barn, and the Chamar is dead. Ay, vavay. Now the Shaila is, when did this Chamar pagan? Did it pagan before the Bal HaChamar schlepped the para? And if that's the case, it's a Mekach Toys. I didn't go and buy a dead chamar. I bought a live chamar. Or do you say no, that after the Baal HaChamar schlepped the parah, the chamar somehow got wind of this and said, you're now going to switch over to the Baal HaParah. I don't want to go to the Baal HaParah. And then the chamar died on the spot from the aggravation and irritation, cardiac arrest, the chamor died. The chamor died only post the Mashiach. If it's post the Mashiach, Nebuch nistach for sedeu of the Baal HaPara, he thought he got a live chamor. He never had a dead chamor. So therefore, that's the sichsuch, that's the litigation going on now between the Baal HaPara and the Baal HaChamor. If you look at the first wide line of Rashi, Ad Shemesa Chamor, Ze Oimer Ad Shli Meshachta Es Parasi, you Baal HaChamor, before you schlep my para, Mes Chamorcha Ulechom Mes, it died when it was still in your rishus. Take it back, give me back my para, because this is not a deal. It's a mekach toys. The other one says, what are you talking about? Misha meshachti mes. After I did the meshicha on the chamar, sorry, on the para, that's when the chamar died. And therefore it was in your rishus. It's your problem now, it's not my problem. So, who do we believe? Who don't we believe? Who has the burden of proof? Says now, Shmuel, al bala, we're back to the Gemara, three lines before the bottom, al bala chamor, lo haviraya, shoyechamoyre kayim, b'shas mishichas par. The bala chamor has to bring the raya, that the chamor was still alive at the time of the mishich. Now let's think about this for a moment. Who at the moment is the muchzik? L'choyre the muchzik is the bala hachamor who schlepped the para. So he got his part of the consideration, his part of the transaction. Who is the one that is upset? It's the Baal HaPara who's saying, you sold me a dead animal, a carcass. That's not what I bought. No good. So who is the Muchzik, the Baal HaChamor that now is Machzik in the Para? The Moitzi is now the Baal HaPara who wants to get his Chamor, but the Chamor is dead. L'choyra, HaMoitzi Mechaveirei Olav Haraya. And the one that should have to bring the proof is the Baal HaPara. Nevertheless, we say the Baal HaChamor has to bring the raya. Moreover, L'choyra, this animal, this chamor, lived for the last 20 years. It was breathing and eating and moving and going for the last 20 years. It had a cheskis chai until it died. So if I'm not sure when it died, L'choyra the chazak is, it was alive until the final moment. And therefore that would be inur well for the Baal HaChamor. He owned this chamor. What are you talking about? Chamor died. His chamor was alive and kicking and doing a great job for years. I schlepped freight from here to Alaska. A great chamor. It's your fault. Nistach fadeo. It's not my fault. It's your fault. After the Mashiach, that's when it can pike it, not before. He has the chazaka. So he has two things going for him. Number one, that he happens to be the muchzik in the para. He's the muchzik. The other guy is the moitzi. Number two, that there's a chazaka on this chamor that it was alive as long as it was alive. Nevertheless, says Shmuel, the Baal HaChamor has to bring the raya. Where does that come from? The chayyim, that doesn't make sense. So Kimar Betana Tuna, the raya is from our Mishnah, from Kala. Now the question is, we have two cases in the Mishnah Kala. We have the Kala in the first case of the Beis HaAv, and we have the Kala in the Beis HaBaal. So hi Kala, which Kala we bring a raya from? Ilema Kala, the Beis HaVia, Mi Domi. Now before we continue on, when we say Kala very severe, we don't mean the case of the Reisha of the Mishnah. We mean, says Rashi, that Shmuel is learning like Reb Lozer. Reb Lozer said, Tavra, Mishishonazu, Leishonazu. And therefore when he's saying that we're learning from Kala Bei Savia, we mean that we're going in accordance with the Tana of the Kala Bei Savia case, who was Reb Yeshua and Reb Yeshua. Exactly. And Reb Yeshua holds both in the Reisha case and in the Sefer case, meaning both in the Av and in the Baal.
The Baal wins.
Not that the Baal wins, but the Baal is the one that has
to... Muchzik in the money.
No.
Sorry, you're right. It's on the Av that has the burden of proof to go and show when the Oidus was, like we had back in the beginning of the Masechta, or when the Mumin arrived on the scene. Was it post Erisin like the Av is saying, and therefore it was a good Mekach? Or is like the Baal saying that she already had the movement from before, and the thing was a Mekach toys? So, says our Gemara at this point, that Shmuel is learning like Reb Lozer, who's learning like Reb Yeshua, and Reb Yeshua holds in all cases, who has to go and bring the burden of proof, who has to bring the Raya? It's the father of the girl. Aha. Now, Let's assume that we're already bebeis habal, even though he says we're talking about kala beis aviyah. We don't really mean kala beis aviyah. We mean Rabbi Yeshua, who's the Tana of the kala beis aviyah. But she's already now in the beis habal. What's the din the beis habal? Rabbi Yeshua says, who has to go and bring the burden of proof? It's the father. Now, why should the father have to go and show proof? What's the proof that he wants to go and show? He wants to prove that she only became a balas mum post Eirusin. Now, that's a devil pashit. She had a cheskes haguf, that she was a shleimen et tamima until we know otherwise. So avada, it should be that pre Eirusin we should assume that she was a tamima. Why does the father have to go and bring the raya? Oh, so you see that even though she has the chazaka, the father has to bring the raya, which is the same thing like by the chamor. Even though the bala chamor, he has the cheskes haguf, that he's saying, my chamor lived for 20 years, it probably lived for another 5 minutes until after the Mashiach. He has the cheskes haguf, the bala chamor has to bring the raya. Ah, so that's what we mean that Shmuel said, that the bala chamor has to bring the raya, even though there's a cheskes haguf, because it goes like Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah, even though this girl has a cheskes haguf that she was a shleim and a tmima until Eirusin, nevertheless, it's alo av to bring the raya. Why? Because lo mipi onu chayim, we don't believe her until she brings proof. Oh, so that's the raya, therefore, that Shmuel, that Shmuel's mekoyer, that even though the Baal HaChamor has the chazoka, nevertheless, he has to prove. Here too, even though the girl has the chazaka, she and her father have to go and bring the proof. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that Shmuel learned the halacha from our Mishnah. Break the Gemara, if that's the case, me dummy, how can you compare the two cases? Because hosam maisi avraya umapik, hocham maisi balachamor raya umoikim. Forget about the cheskas aguf. Let's now talk about the cheskas mamayim. Where does the mamayin reside?
In
the case of the Baal, the pocket of the Baal, because he hasn't had to pay out yet. So who wants to extricate and get that money from the Baal?
The Av.
The Av. So he's the Moitzi Mechaveri Olav Araya. That's why in our Mishnah it says, Olav Ala Av Lahavi Araya. In this case, by the Baal HaChamor and Baal HaPara, the Baal HaChamor already owns the Para because he schlepped the Para. So he has the money. If you want to go and bring a raya from the case of the Av and the Kalav Mishnah, the chariot should be on the Baal HaPara to go and bring the raya that the Chamor was already dead, because the Baal HaPara wants to get his Para back from the Baal HaChamor. He's the Moitzi Mechaverai. So if you want to go and bring a raya from Kala, say, Pugfakert. How can you compare the two cases? Hasa Maisi Av Raya Umapik, by bringing his raya about the fact that she only got her mum post Eirusin, with that he will be able to go and extract a larger ksuba, or a ksuba at all. Hoch, in our case, Maisi Baal HaChamor Raya Umoikin. The Baal HaChamor is holding on to his newly found para, and he says, who cares about your chamor? You're dead, nishdad, that's your problem, it's not my problem. So therefore, we have no raya from our Mishnah, from Kala. If anything, if you want to bring a raya from a mishnah from Kalim, you would say, just like the Av is the Moitzi, he has to bring the raya. In the case of the Baal HaChamor and Baal HaPara, the Baal HaPara wants to be Moitzi, wants to get his Para back. He's the Moitzi, he should have to bring the raya. So Amar Ababa, so Ababa says, you know, you're 100% right. Kalim Abbas Chamiya. We're not bringing a raya from Reb Yeshua, we're bringing a raya from Reb Rabban Gamliel, because remember, Rebbe Lozer said, Tavra Mishishon Azu, Leishon Azu. So we have both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel in our Mishnah. And what did Rabban Gamliel say in our Mishnah? Rabban Gamliel says that we believe her. And the Baal always has to bring the raya. The Baal always has to bring the raya. Now let me ask you, who's holding on to the money in the case of the husband and wife? The husband, the Baal, is holding on to the money because he's the one that they're trying to get the ksuba from. And what does Rabban Gamliel say? That you always go after, who has to go and bring the proof?
The Baal.
The Baal has to bring the proof, even though he's holding on to the money. Ah, so that's the reason why by the Baal HaChamor, even though Baal HaChamor is holding on to the money, he's holding on to the parah, he has to bring the proof. Oh, that's to reason. Now we understand, Sifima. Very good. Oh, you answered the question beautifully. That the Makoyer of Shmuel is from our Mishnah, from the case of Akala, from the case according to Ram Gamliel. But according to Ram Gamliel, we always believe her and we believe the father. The one that has to bring the burden of proof, the one that has to bring the raya, is always the husband. Even though the husband is holding on to the cash, he's holding on to the male Messiah, he has to bring the proof. Ah, it's the same thing over here by the Bala Chamor and the Bala Parah. Even the Bala Chamor is holding on to the Parah. He schlepped it. It belongs to him now. The Chayna would say, no, the Bala Parah has to bring the raya. No, no, no. The one that's muhsik, that's holding on to it, has to bring the raya, just like by the, in our Mishnah, the Bala is holding on to the money, he has to bring the raya. There too, the Bala Chamor is holding on to the money, to the Parah, he has to bring the raya.
They're not parallel cases.
Why though? Not?
Because the girl has a ksuva. A ksuva, he has a lien on his property. It's like the money's already in her position. I mean, if the marriage terminates and her ksuva is valid, it's like she already has it.
The only one that holds that any time that you're holding on to a shtar is kegavu dami is Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel respectfully disagrees. Every time when it comes to whatever it says in the shtar, the muhsik is the one that's holding the money, and the one that's holding the shtar is the motzi.
So in this case, she has the ksuva, which is a lien. It's different than, as it were, it's already.
If you hold achrayus to a soifer, every single shtar always has
okay,
a lien.
Okay.
Especially.
Thank you.
No problem. Anyway, so zok to Gemara, so lechoyra, that's his raya. Arababa kalamis chamia, period. Pray to Gemara, kati leidomi. It's still not the same. Why is it not the same? Because Hossam, in the case of our Mishnah, Bal Maisiraya Umora Leila Chazoke de Av, who has the case of the Chazoka in our Mishnah? The Av and the daughter have the Chazoka. What's the Chazoka? That Cheskes Aguf, that she was a Shleim and a Tamima as late as possible. It's the Baal that says, no, I suspect that she was a Baalas Mum even pre Erisin. But that's going against the chazaka. Chazaka is that a person doesn't have a mum until I find a mum. The assumption is that she is a gesunter, healthy and fine and good and boil. Ah, so what do we have to do in our Mishnah? The Baal Maisirai, Umar Leil Chazak of the Av. He has to challenge and he has to undermine, weaken the chazaka of the Av. Hoch, in our case, Baal Chamor Maisirai, Umoikim Chazaka Biyade. In our case, the Baal Chamor doesn't weaken the other guy's chazaka. Rather, to the contrary, the Baal Chamor brings a raya to strengthen his own chazaka, because the Baal Chamor also has a cheskes aguf. Just like she has a cheskes aguf, that she was a shleim and a tmima as late as possible. And therefore, the time of Erizin, she was a tmima, it was not a bekachtois. You don't believe that chazaka? Baal, you have to bring proof to undermine it. Here by the Baal Chamor, he has the Cheskes Aguf, that this Chamor lived for 20 years, it probably lived for another 5 minutes until after the Mashiach. And you're saying the Baal Chamor has to go and bring proof. What is he going to bring proof? That the Cheskes Aguf continued on? He has to be making, he has to reestablish me machzik the Chazaka biyodei. Those are two separate cases. That doesn't make sense. In our case, you're trying to say, according to Shmuel, that the Mekoyer of his Halacha, that the Baal Chamor has to bring the rise from the fact that the Baal has to bring the raya. The reason why the Baal has to bring a raya is because it's a cheskes aguf that is screaming at him and saying, she's right, she has the chazak. So the Baal has to throw and trump that, he has to override it. However, here, the Baal Chamor has the chazak that's screaming out, this Chamor was alive. It should be the Baal Apara that has to go and challenge and undermine and weaken that chazak. So the Chayr, again, the parallel is not there. Says the Imam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kalim Beisaviya Ule Kiddushin. What does that mean? We go back to the original pshat. That not that it's going according to Ram Gamliel, it's going according to Reb Yoshua. And Reb Yoshua says, Lemepi Anu Chaim. And why does he say Lemepi Anu Chaim? We don't believe her, we believe him. Aha. So now, what is the commonality now between our Mishnah and the Halacha of Shmuel? Just like in our Mishnah, what's the halacha according to Rabbi Yeshua? It's always on the Av to go and bring the raya. So even though the Va'av has the Cheskes Haguf, what's the Cheskes Haguf? that she was a tmima as long as possible. So even though he has the chazaka in his on his side, he has to go and prove his case. Here too, the Baal HaChamor, even though he has the chazaka on his side, he has to go and prove his case. What's the chazaka that the Baal HaChamor has? He has the proof. He has the chazaka that the animal lived until now. It probably lived another 5 to 10 minutes post Mashiach. That's what we said originally in the Omer Aleph. That was the makor of Shmuel from our Mishnah. But the Gemara said at the top of the Omer, "Mi dami, the two are not the same." Because Hosam Maisi Av Raya Umapik. The reason why in our Mishnah, although the Av has the Cheskes Aguf on his side, but he wants to collect money. He wants to take a ksuba. What's the din if you want to get money? Ha Maisi. That's why the Av. Over here, he just wants to hold on to his goods. He's not being moitzi. He already schlepped the para yesterday, a week ago, a month ago. He's the muchzik. If you want to be a moitzi, who should have to bring a raya? It's the other fellow, the Baal HaPara, should have to go and bring the raya. That was the Gemara's kasha. In our case of our Mishnah, the father is being the moitzi. In the case of the Baal HaChamor, the Baal HaChamor is the machzik. How can you bring a raya? Says that Gemara, in our case of the Mishnah, the Av is not only the moitzi, he's also the machzik. In which respect is he the machzik? Because the young lady received a beautiful ring which was worth $1,000 at the time of the erusin. If the husband wins, not only is he not going to have to pay the ksuba, he's going to take back that ring. And so therefore, when the Av in our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yeshua, when you pay Aruchai, you're going to have to prove your case. His proof is not only to be able to go and extract 200 for the ksuba, but also to hold on to retain the ring. Ah, that has the ring of truth to it. And therefore, just like we say in our Mishnah, when the Av wants to retain the ring, by the way, the ring goes to him, because it's anything erusin, ketano nara, it's his ring. I don't know that he wears the ring, but Lamasa, it belongs to him. And therefore he wants to hold on to that ring. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, you're the muchzik, you gotta prove your case. Same thing like the Baal HaChamor. Even though he's the muchzik, he has to go and prove his case. That's from Nachman Yitzchak Terence, Kalamei Sevilla, Ula Kiddushin. We're not talking about the Ksuba, we're talking about the Kes of Kiddushin, the ring or the cash that was given at the time of the Erizin. Both the father is the muchzik and he has to bring the raya, and the Baal HaChamor is the muchzik, he has to bring the raya. What second are you telling me, really, that the Baal could take the ring back?
Yeah.
Isn't this totally in a famous machloikis? There's a machloikis where the Kiddushin, Letibuan Nitnu, Letibuan means that it's sunk, Sus Verechev, Tuba Bayom, that where they're sunk in and you can't extract it anymore? Or do you say that you can go and give the ring back? Where is the machloikis? The machloikis is Rachmon Litzlon, when a Chosin Kala, the Chosin gave the ring to the Kala and Abmikadesh asleep. Erusin was great and perfect. 3 days later, he's walking down the street, so happy, Baruch Hashem, newly betrothed, a chosin, feels like chosin doyim l'melech. And guess what happens? A crazy driver goes, Nebuch, runs him over, and the levai is that day. What happens now? The chosin's family goes over to the Kala and say, Kala, we're so sorry, so sorry. But bottom line is, give back the ring. The whole purpose of the ring was husband and wife. No husband, no wife, give back the ring. And she says, no. At the time of the Erusin, there was a husband, there was a wife, Oris, Harusa, Nebuch. He passed away, I feel sorry, I'll sit shiva for him too. But I'm keeping the ring for me, because that's the machloikis. It's my ring. That's the machloikis. The fact that we're saying over here that the father has to prove that he can keep the ring sounds like lav letibuin nitnu, that it's not 1,000% done, concluded, final sale, final closing. You could get it back. And the chosin, therefore, wants to get it back, because he says, she had mumin pre-erisin. The whole thing is a mekach toys. Don't talk about ksuba shmuba. Give me back the ring. I didn't want a chasana with a girl that has mumin. Says the Gemara, the loitema, don't tell me aliba de mandiyam kedushin lavetibudnetnu. And that's why the father has to prove his case, not only vis-a-vis to be moitzi the ksuba, but also to be machzik the ring. That normally we say it's a done deal, we closed, it's final, and she keeps the ring even though the husband passed away. That's when everybody agrees that the kiddushin was perfect. Nebuch the husband passed away. In this case, where the husband is saying, I made a toys, or they were mad to me, they deceived me, they told me that she's a shleimer atmima, and I see that Nebuch, she's a balas mum, in my sirayim, if the father can take a proof that she was not a balas mum at the time of the erusin, and he holds on to the ring. But Eloi, if he cannot prove that, and maybe she was a balas mum even pre-erusin, loy, he could take a lose the ring, even according to Mandiyama, Kiddush Litibud, because that's talking about that it was a Kiddush Vadai. By Kiddush Safik, there's always a chance you can go and get the ring back. Okay, it's a good Tanishkit. Oh, Baruch Hashem.
That means that.
Irretrievable.
Right, so under all circumstances.
That's what the Gemara asked in the Havamina. Oh, so this Gemara is only talking about a case of. And that's why the husband, not the husband, that's why the father has to prove that she was not a balas mum, so that he can keep the ring. Says the Gemara, no. Even if you hold it normally, you always keep the ring, and you don't have to prove anything. That's when it was a kedusha vaday. So when the husband dies after that, I'm so sad.
Why is it a kedusha safek? It was a kedusha vaday.
Yeah.
It just the kedusha was a real kedusha. If she was mizana with someone the day after her husband died, she'd be chayiv Mrs. Bezdin. It was a kedushin vada.
If he said to her, "Al menas she'ein olayich mumin," and afterwards it turns out that she had a mum,
okay.
He said in the Mishnah it's a mekach toys. So if she lived with somebody else, she does not deserve to be the guest of honor at the next Beis Yaakov dinner.
But she wasn't an Ashes Ish.
She was a mekach toys.
Okay.
She lived with him with toys and she lived with him with toys, but nothing happened. There wasn't a binding marriage. Okay, Frank Dimar, we ask Akasha now in Shmuel. And again, we go totally to left field. We now get into Masechtas Chulin and Hilchas Kashrus and Tarfus. Everybody knows that every kosher animal has, every kosher cow, let's say, has four stomachs. Really? Holy cow! Four stomachs. Yep. You have the keres, you have the hemsis, the basakoisis, and the keva. We're only going to focus today on the basakoisis. Basakoisis, that second of the four of the animal stomachs, has a very, very thick wall. And if you open up and you cut open the inside of the basakoisis, you'll notice that it's not a smooth material, but it has like little cups, one next to the other. For those of you that have a slippery bath, so sometimes you go and buy such a plastic mat and you put it down so that you shouldn't slip. If you ever turn that mat upside down, you see you have about 100 or 20 or 50 little suction cups. That's the way the basic coisis looks. When you cut it open, it looks like these little suction cups.
It looks like a honeycomb, actually. Also, you cut open a honeycomb.
Excellent. Nochakit mushroom. Shkoich. So this basic coisis is very thick because of those additional honeycombs or suction cups or whatever mushroom you want to give. Because it's so thick, if you are a shoichet, you open up the animal and you find a machat, you find a needle in the stomach. So now it depends whether or not this needle perforated the stomach through both sides. If it would have been the hemsis or the keres or the keva, as soon as you see that it's in the wall, the assumption is that it perforated and went to the other side. Over here, even though you find in the wall of the basic coisis, you assume that it's still only halfway penetrating, it didn't go all the way through because it's a double wall, it's like a double glass like you have today in many places, double windows, yeah. So ma'achachinim to boi v'beis ha'koisis. If it's mitzad echad, it's ksheira, because this animal could have lived another 10 years. Mishnei tzedodim, however, if it perforated through and through, then it's a treifa. No good. Nimtza leh kort dam. It doesn't say clearly where the nimtza leh is. Most mafarshim learned that it's talking about on the machat. Some let's say this talking about where that hole apparently was. Assuming that we're talking about the machat, and the machat went through shnei tzedodim, which we said before is treifa. We're not finished yet. Let's see if there's any blood on that machat. Nimtza leh kort dam. if on the machan I find that there's blood, then this must have taken place a day ago, 3 days ago, and therefore that's why there was live blood on the machat. That's why the machat is all red and dirty. It's full of blood. If I see the machat, a miracle, totally clean, as if it just went in now. Oh, came in now. After shechita took place, somehow the animal went through all types of reverberations and shaking up and down and whatever, jerking. And now, a machat went through the wall. That's why there's no blood, because it's a dead animal. Dead animal, there's no blood left. All the blood went out through the base of shechita. It went all out. The rest of the animal is no blood, and that's why it's a clean machat, and it's kosher after all. Huglad piyamaka. What happens if I don't find the machat, but I see the piyamaka? Huglad is from the lotion of congealed blood, a scab. If there's a scab over the piyamaka, then you know this already took place a few days ago, and it had a chance to congeal and become a scab, just like lahavdil when we get scabs on our skin. If you see it's still a raw maka and there's no scab which is formed, then I don't know, did this happen before the shechita, or this has happened post shechita? Whoever wants to get back his money, he has to bring the proof. Like usual, my mom is a moitzi mechaber. Now, who would be the moitzi in our case? So we have two people. We have the moicher, that's the bala behema, and we have the tabach. The tabach is the one that is the butcher, the shoichet, and he purchased the animal from the bala behema to shecht, and then to go and sell it retail to all of his customers. Oh, so always the moitzi olivarai. So tibar, vi yoev tabach tami. What would have happened if the tabach already prepaid? In other words, the moicher says, here's the animal, where's my money? The tabach says, here's your money, you have the money in your hand, done deal. And now we shecht it, and the tabach finds out that the animal might have been a treifa. I'm not sure. So who's going to have to go and be moitzim chaveroi? The tabach is going to want to get his money back, and he's going to have to prove when this pimaka happened. Since it's loy huglad, I don't know if it happened pre-shechita or post-shechita. Avada, he's saying, oh, I'm sure it happened pre-shechita. But can he prove it? Presumably he won't be able to prove it.
Why does he have any grounds to sue? When he buys the animal, the mocher...
It's in the contract that it has to be a kosher animal.
And the mocher is presenting it as I mean,
as
the mocher,
a kosher animal.
And the mocher can't certify, doesn't have x-ray vision. He's not Superman. He can't see inside.
Absolutely, but if you find out...
So he's giving me a guarantee. Okay.
The Iyoiv Tabach Domi, if the Tabach already gave the money, Boilesu Yeraya, Umapik, he's going to have to bring the Raya and to me, Moitzi, to extract the money, get his money back. Frank Mavamai, Balmehema Lais Yeraya, the Noikim. Why don't we say, just like Shmuel said, with the Balmehema, meaning the former Balachamar, who's holding on to the Parah, who is the one that has to prove when the animal died? Is it the Balachamar? Is it the Balapara? Now, we normally would have said that the Balapara has to go and prove it. Why? Because after all, he's the Moitzi Mechaveira. He wants to go and get back his Para. The Balachamar took the Para. He owns the Para. And now I don't know when the Chamar died. Is it before or is it after? So who wants to go and extract? Who's the Moitzi? The original Balapara wants to get his Para back. Nevertheless, we said, no, you don't have to bring the Raya. It's the Balachamar, who's the Muchsik. He has to bring the Raya. So why don't you say over here too that the one that has to go and bring the Raya is the Bala Behema, the person that is holding on to the money. He is holding on to Tabach's money, and the Tabach wants the money back. We have to go and prove what happened to this animal, when did it become treif, earlier or later. Just like Shmuel said, when we have the case of, I don't know when the animal died, the Bala Chamar, who's the Muchsik, in the Parah, he's holding on to the cash, he's holding on to the money. He has to prove. Why don't we say over here too that the Bala Behema, who's holding on to the cash from the Tabach, that he should have to go and prove the case? Right, Ramai, Bala Behema, Laisirai, the Noikim, to be able to hold on to that cash. Everything, Mara, the case that you just brought now from the Mishnah, the Sechtas Chulim, the Machat, that's talking about the Loi Yoev Tavchadami. It's talking about the Tabach did not give the money. And therefore, who is the moitzi?
The mocher.
The mocher, the bala behema. Oh, ain't a chanami. The bala behema, he is the one that has to go and bring the raya, just like the case in our Mishnah. That our Mishnah, we said, not the Mishnah, the case of Shmuel, just like Shmuel said, that the bala behema, he's the one that's holding on to the parah. He's the one that has to, should be the other bala parah, should have to bring the raya. No, the bala behema has to bring the raya. Says the Gemara, that's the loch over here too. The bala behema wants to go and get the money from the tabach. The tabach didn't pay yet. So it's the bala behema, he's the moitzi. He's going to have to go and bring the raya. Says the Gemara. So that's the tushtel, that's the raya from, not left, it's a raya. That's why it's no kasha from the case of the machat on the halacha of Shmuel, because Shmuel says, both in our case, the bala behema has to bring the raya, and there too, the bala behema, the moichra, has to go and bring the raya. Freiti Mara, my pasker, how can you go and say, as a general rule, that the tabach didn't pay yet? After all, any good moichra behema will insist that the tabach pay in advance,
right,
and I give you money back guarantee, because if I'm not going to take the money in advance, what happens? The tabach messes up in the shechita.
That's right.
And after all, they didn't check out the sakin. They had 12 beginners on it, and therefore the animal's trash.
Sure,
it's not my fault. You know, the tabach could have made all types of problems. So you pay, then we'll worry about whether it's kosher or not. So my pasca, how do you go and say it's talking about that the tabach didn't pay? Eliki also wrote Mari Cheska Oma. Loit sasinu lahani kloli de kail. Yehuda Achim Mishmei Deshmuel. We've had this Gemara already a couple of times, where Rabbi Ben Yecheskel, who was the brother of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amoira was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. So Rabbi says, ignore my brother Yehuda, what he said in the name of Shmuel. What he said in the name of Shmuel on the Amud Aleph, that the Bala Chamor has to go and bring the proof. He's wrong. Hachi Amishmuel, Kol Shenoylet Savik Bereshusay, all of Harayim. When one did this suffix come up in the first place? When the Balapara opened up the barn door to go and schlep the chamar. Oh, so it was Bishusai. This already happened in Israel. Why is it in Rishus? Because the Bala Chamar had already schlepped the para. So therefore, automatically the Balapara now owns the chamar. So with Noilid, the suffix Bishusai, when he opens up the barn, he says, hey, what happened to my chamar? And therefore, the Tanatuna, what raya am I going to bring? I'm going to bring a raya from the case of the kala. What's the case of the kala? From our Mishnah. Not like we learned until now, that it goes according to Rabbi Lazar. And Tavra Misha Shonazu, Le Shonazu. And then we were groping in the dark to figure out, are we paskening like Rabbi Yeshua, or paskening like Rabbi Gamliel? But rather, we're saying like it says in our Mishnah. And like Rava said, Kan Nimtso, Kan Hoyu. Wherever the mum was found, that's the person that has the burden of proof. So if the mum were found with base of via, the av has the burden of proof. If the mum was only found with base bala, then the baal has the burden of proof. The burden of proof shifts. Here too, says the Gemara, what happened over here? We're talking about the case of the bala chamar and the bala parah. When did the suffix arise as to when the chamar died? After the transaction took place, meaning
with the live para, with the previous bala chamor,
after the bala chamor schlepped the para away,
right?
Now the bala para opens up the barn, and now for the first time, oy vavoy, the chamor is dead. So this is noilat suffix b'rishusai. So who has to bring the raya? The b'rishusai guy. Who's the b'rishusai guy? The bala para has to go and bring a raya.
But it's actually technically in the rishus, in the barn of the previous owner.
Yeah, but halachically, who does it belong to now?
It belongs to the previous bala para.
Exactly. So now, it's now in his rishus, all of a raya. So that's betona tuna, and the raya is taken from kala. Just like by kala, wherever you find the problem, that person has to go and establish the facts. If it's a base of via, the father has established the facts. If it's a base bala, the bala has established the facts. Now I find the dead chamar in the rishus of the Balapar. The Balapar has to establish the facts. And that's what Shmuel said. Not like Rabbi Yehuda quoted the name of Shmuel, that the Baal HaChamor has to prove it, but the Baal HaPorah has to go and prove it. And therefore, that's totally consistent.
Even though technically the warrant can still be in there, it's just...
You're talking about the physical and the fact.
Yeah, the physical.
The barn
belongs to the previous Baal HaChamor. It's in his chutzner, it's in his barn. It's literally, but he said that the when you make the switch, then the animal is where it guests. In the barn of the
if you want to take a look at the Rashi in Ayin Vav Amid Aleph, we didn't look at this Rashi inside, but he addresses your question. Five lines before the wide lines, back on the Amid Aleph. Umashach balachamor esapara. Bechamor ha'yu beis balav in its own house. Utanam bikidushin kol hanas adam bi'acher. That means anything that's a product of a barter or exchange. Kim shezocha zeh shemashach mi'an. Once the first one makes the Mashiach, the deal is done.
It's a Shomer situation at that point.
Exactly.
It goes from an owner situation to a Shomer Chinim situation.
Oh, whatever you want to call it. But the point is, once you do the Mashiach, the other animal, Bechol Mokim Shein, in Australia, goes to the other guy's Shusna. Okay, so now, the Halach of Shmuel, and Halach of... I'm sorry?
So Shukan Nimsu Vakan Hayu is in the case of the Para.
Where did we find the Para in whose Rishus? In the Rishus of the Baal, not the Para. Where did we find the Chamar in the Rishus of the Baal HaPara? Because as soon as the Baal HaChamar schlepped the Para, then the Chamar belongs to the Baal HaPara, whatever it happens to be. And now he discovers it. So the discovery took place in his Rishus. You got to prove it. Frank Dimar Meisvei, Machin Shemim Zemoyis Meisvei Koisis. If it's talking, so what did we say? I have a shaila. When did this
machat?
When did the machas enter and go through? Because I didn't find a gelid, I didn't find congealed blood, and therefore the blood could be happened just now, or could have happened yesterday. So now the question is: so said the Mishnah, Hamoytim Mechavei Olavarai. So look, if the tabak didn't pay for it, so then. Who is the one that has to bring a proof? Because he wants to get his money from the tabach.
Right.
When did the suffix take place?
The possession of the tabach.
Of tabach, because the tabach already took possession of the animal and he shechted it. Right. So in that case, it should be the tabach that has to have now the burden of proof. Just like we said in the Mishnah, Bebeis Av, Av has a burden of proof. Bebeis Baal, Baal has a burden of proof.
Tabach.
In the case of the Baal HaChamor, the Baal HaPara, since the dead Chamor is in his rishus, he has to go and prove it. Here too, the Tabach should have to go and prove it. But you just told me, that means that the Baal HaBehema has to bring a raya, that the Tabach has to pay him the money. So therefore, the Tabach should have to go and bring the proof. It's talking about the Tabach did pay in advance before the Shechita. And so therefore, who is the one that's moitzi mechaveroi? It's the tabach. He wants to get his money back. When did the suffix happen? Birshusai, after the shechita, after he bought the animal. Oh, so that's perfect. Ab brings the raya, the baal brings the raya, the baal hachamor, and here the tabach, because it's birshusai. He has to go and bring the proof. Fight tomorrow. Oh, my pascha. You're telling me in all cases, tabachim pay in advance? So tomorrow, yes, some of the milzer. 99% of the time. Normally the Baal HaBehema is not going to go and transfer the goods until you pay the money. And you're in a supermarket. They don't let you go and take the goods out and they, oh, I'm going to send you a check. You got to pay on the spot. You pay the money. Now you can go and take the groceries. You have to provide your own plastic bags in New York, in Manhattan. But nevertheless, now it's yours. So until you give the money, I'm holding on to the animal. So stomach and milta taka that all the tabachim did pay in advance. So who's the moitzi mechaveroi? The tabach. No, it happened b'rishusai olam lahavirai. We could theoretically end
no,
it here, but I'm sure you want to end it to the Mishnah. Of course. That was all the Meir that we spoke about in the Mishnah. The chomim oimrim, it really depends. Are you talking about mumin shebe seis? Or mumin shebe goloi? That's what we had in the Mishnah. Now the question is, how do you define a particular mum? Amrav Nachman, the nichbe kemumin shebeseiser dummy. If afterwards he finds out that Rachmanu Litzlan, his wife, is nebuch an epileptic, she suffers from epilepsy, that is considered to be a mum shebeseiser. why is it a munshim b'seisa?
Because you don't know.
Yeah, but don't people know that this person never has fainted in the past and has had seizures? It's an epileptic person that only gets this fainting seizure spell at certain times. Since it happens at certain times, this young lady will stay home always from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
To avoid disclosing it.
Exactly. So if it happens, it happens at home, and the only one to know about it is the mishpucha. If it's a type of epileptic, the nebuch, he or she can have it at any time. That's because everybody knows about it. You can't deny it from her classmates, from her friends, from the neighbors, from people in shul. It's happened in the morning, it's happened at night. So you can't avoid it. So that's the end of this gemara. I heard yesterday, during the Second World War, right before the Second World War, the legendary rabbi Dr. Solomon Schoenfeld, who has masterminded the kinder transport to go and bring hundreds and hundreds of children from Eastern and Western Europe to London because he saw that the war was on the horizon. He came to King George. The government in England was not happy with the idea, bringing in all of these illegal immigrants, right? You got to bus them to New York and to Martha's Vineyard and to here and to there. All these children, who's going to take it? They're going to be wards of the estate, of the state. Who's going to take care of them? So Rabbi Schoenfeld, he had this master plan, but there was a lot of opposition. The Shutzer Rebbe, who was considered to be a Groysa Tzaddik and Erlich Yid, who lived in London at the time, he was known as the Sar Shalom, he went personally to plead with King George. King George looked at the Rebbe and he saw this is a holy man. And he told the Shatzer Rebbe, before I answer your question, I want you to know I have a daughter by the name of Elizabeth. Unfortunately, she suffers from epilepsy.
Wow.
What can we do? Said the Shatzer Rebbe, I'll make you a deal. If you allow for the kinder transport, I give you a bracha, then not only will she be safe from this epilepsy, but she will live Arichas Yamim Vishanim, she'll live a very long, long life. King George said, it's a deal. The kinder transport was permitted.
Tens of thousands of Jewish children survived.
Exactly. She had her full shalem, she no longer epilepsy, and she lived into her 90s, as we all know, and she just passed away. See, it's a good story that fits in nicely with it.
Your father
was one of the beneficiaries.